This is Alternate Take. I am your host, Danny Rodriguez. Welcome back to the show. On this episode, man, we brought you just an absolute savage. You know, just one of those fucking beast, man. We brought you guys Mr. Jimmy Rex. Jimmy Rex is a do-it-all. I've said that about a lot of guests we've had on this podcast, but it's the truth, man. This dude is an entrepreneur. He's an author. He's a real estate savage, you know, probably one of the best in Utah the last 20 years, 30 years. And his books are just tremendous, man. I've read two of his books already. And now he's a CEO and founder of We Are The They. And we went over what that is and why it's so damn important and what his mission is, man. And it was great to be able to pick his brain, man. The dude is a superstar of life, and it's very easy to gain that status and not give back. You know, you can just be a selfish fuck if you want and live in your riches. But that's not Mr. Jimmy Rex. Mr. Jimmy Rex loves giving back, man. And he's got his own podcast. It's tremendous. He's interviewed people that I highly admire. He just had on Manti Te'o, who's like a, you know, one of my favorite football players of all time, man. He's had on Ozzie Smith. Like, dude, who didn't fucking dive at shortstop hoping to catch the ball with your bare hand at some point, dog? You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Rex is a hell of a guy. So I hope you guys get a lot of this episode. So without further ado, I bring to you guys the legendary Mr. Jimmy Rex. Alternate Take, what is up, you guys? We are back again with another episode, man. We brought you the awesome Mr. Jimmy Rex. How you doing, sir?
Dude, life's good, man. How are you doing?
It's good, man. Can't complain, dude. Just hustling. Just trying to get better every day, man. Using inspirations like you, man.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Absolutely, brother. Well, I had to bring you on the show, man. I actually just recently got a copy of your book. You End Up Where You're Heading. I had to buy it, man. I was like, super excited to get it going and start reading it, man. And it led me down a whole path, dude. I first got, I think, familiar with you on YouTube and Instagram. And it was the in-your-face type shit that I needed, to be honest with you. Everyone needs that blunt honesty, but like not, it wasn't like Rocky's coach. Like, it was more like gracefully put to where I was like, man, that's true. And if you're any sort of honest person, you always got to tell yourself the truth about certain things. That being said, man, let's start from the beginning with Mr. Jimmy Rex, man. Tell me where you grew up, brother.
Yeah, man. So I'm from Utah. Grew up here and lived here most of my life. I went when I was 19 years old. I went and lived in Mexico for 2 years. I was a missionary for my church I grew up in, and I lived in California for a bit, Arizona. But yeah, I'm a Utah kid, man. Grew up right here in Utah.
Damn, dude. I've heard some good things. I've never been down there, but I heard it's pretty nice.
Dude, Utah has three. If you look at like Google most lists of top 100 places to visit before you die, there's like three here in Utah. It's really beautiful. I like to live here, and then I leave often, right? I feel like I go somewhere almost every week. But Utah's my home, man. I love coming back here.
I love that. So that's where you got started in real estate, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Damn. And how did that come to you, man? Because I'll tell you, like, real estate is something I've thought about as an adult. But as a kid, growing up, man, I don't know if I was afraid of maybe like doubling down yourself on marketing or something like that, man. I panicked. I went the blue collar route just because it was safer. There's no risk involved, man. But how did that jump for you to go into that kind of market, like, appeal to you so early?
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, my dad was in real estate, and I remember, you know, going into his office and pretending like I was, you know, a businessman or whatever. But when I turned 21, I kind of graduated with my associates from the junior college here in town, and I was going to go to a major university. But here's how dumb I was. I didn't know you have to apply like 6 months in advance. So I actually had like 4 months with nothing to do as I was waiting to go into this other school. And when one of my buddy's dads did real estate and he was going to get his license. So I thought, you know what, this will be a good thing. At least I can know how to do investment properties. And so I actually got my license mostly for myself to do investment properties. But once I got it, I was like, well, shoot, I have some time. I might as well try to sell a few houses. And my first year, I ended up selling 60 houses, and it was just off to the races, man. By year two, you know, with one assistant, I sold 98 homes. I was one of the two finalists for Salesperson of the Year in the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. And so for the next 15 years, that became my life.
Wow, man. And for somebody who's just beginning in that field, man, I got a relative. He's my old man. He's just about to retire from his law enforcement career. And that's something he's looking to get into. And I'm sure he would take any advice. Like if you were somebody like that, like somebody who's new and just the most beginning basic steps, what would be something that you would tell them? Like, this is the first thing you should worry about before you're worried about all this shit. This is the first thing you got to start with.
Yeah. I mean, real estate's really pretty basic. It's very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And in the sense that, you know, all you got to do is you learn what to say, you learn how to say it, and then you say it all day. That's pretty much what the job is. And so for me, you know, my first 6 months, actually, it's kind of funny. My first 6 months, I was just fumbling around. I picked a brokerage that didn't have a great training program. And I think I sold 3 homes my first 6 months. I was like, man, this sucks. I was ready to get out of it. And then I stumbled upon a coach, this guy by the name of Mike Ferry. And I didn't know this at the time, but he happened to be the greatest coach in like the history of selling real estate. And I just got kind of lucky. I went to a seminar that he was hosting. And that day they taught us how to call for sell by owners, how to do a listing presentation, how to sell buyers. And it was everything I wanted to learn that my brokerage didn't teach me. And so I just did it. I just went all in, signed up for the coaching. I remember at the time I had to tell them the coaching was $1,000 a month. And at that time I had less than $500 in my bank account. So I told them, even when I signed up, I was like, look, man, I can't afford this, but if you give me 3 weeks before you run my card, I'm in. So they did. And once I knew what I was going to do, I just like, I'm just going all in. And so I started just, I just 100% did what they taught me and it worked. And, you know, the next 6 months, like I said, I finished that first year with 60 sales and I only had 3, you know, halftime. And so, it just works, man. So what my best advice is number one is you gotta, you know, I decided from that day forward too, I was going to be a great agent. I didn't want to be a half-ass agent. I didn't want to be a part-time agent. I didn't want to be somebody that, you know, was kind of dabbling in the industry. I said, I'm going to be where most agents, where it takes them 20 years, I want to get there in 2 years. And so I went all in. I hired the best coach. I did everything they said and just worked my ass off. And, you know, and it's funny. I mean, it just worked. And I was calling 30 to 40 for sell by owners every single day. I was calling everyone I knew, inviting them to buy real estate and get enough people. I mean, you get told no 60 times a day, but, you know, one person says yes, you sell a lot of houses.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that approach that you have, man. I hear that so often, like with all these super cool people I get to talk to, man. I talk about comedians, UFC fighters, inspirational people such as yourself, like people, authors of books, everybody, man. And they all have the same, like same exact formula on how to get there. They're like, you just got to go all in. I hear
there's no shortcut, man. It's not even a secret. It's like, pick something you're passionate about, or you can be passionate about, or that'll allow you to have a life you can be passionate about. And then give 10 years, give more than you planned on giving, really go all in. And by the way, a lot of people think they're working hard, but they're just spending a lot of hours at work. Like when I was at work, I was a machine. Like I didn't go to lunch with any of the agents in the office. They were all going to lunch every day. I'm like, who are you selling houses to? You're all realtors. I was, you know, I was talking to people. I've had a bunch of people over the years would come shadow me all the time. And they all said the same thing. They're like, dude, you just get on the phone and don't get off. I was like, well, yeah, that's my job. My whole job was to meet as many people as I could, talk about real estate. When I first got in, my goal was, and when anyone thought of me, I wanted them to think of real estate. And then I changed that goal after a few years. I said, I want anyone thinking of real estate to think of me. I mean, I created a brand in Utah that kind of went national a little bit off of being a realtor. That's really hard to do. I mean, everything I did, I was all in on being the number one agent. And what was cool is even when the market turned, I really believed at my soul, at my heart. I was the hardest working agent. I was the smartest of those agents. I worked so hard to become an expert. Like at my peak of my career, I was the number one agent in the county. I went and got my master's degree from Arizona State in real estate because I wanted to be that much better than everybody else. So when I met with somebody, I had a conviction that no one else had. I could look them in the eyes and I could honestly let them know, like, I believe I'm the best person to help you sell this house. I am the number one person to help you find the house of your dreams. And when I did that, they felt it. And that's why I had so much success. And so by becoming the best, by really putting that effort in, I had the confidence to then relay that to my clients. And it was just, I mean, like clockwork. We were selling 20, 30 homes a month.
Wow, man. And you know, it's funny how like you could put all that work into being a real estate expert and no one else is putting in that work. But most people can really tell when they look someone in the eyes if they're full of shit or not. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that's just living life. People just know, man. And I truly believe like people like yourself, man, like you said, the no lunch break thing, man. I think you guys even see pools and you're like, I'm not here with a little white claw. Like, I think you guys see pools and like, I'm doing butterflies in there. I'm doing laps. I'm not here to play games. And I think once you change your mind to think that way, it just gets exciting. It gets easier. And it could, it can feel temporary for 2 weeks, but then you go, no, just keep going for another 2 weeks. And you're like, okay, it's been a month. And it's a shark mentality, man. I really do enjoy hearing it, man, because it's infectious, brother. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I had a quote on my wall. My mentor, Mike Ferry, always would say, he said, the difference between successful and unsuccessful people is the successful people have merely learned to do the things that unsuccessful people don't want to do. And, you know, he said, fall in love with the monotonous routine. Like, I had all these things that I tell myself. And because it was, I mean, for 6-7 years straight, all I did was made 30, 40 phone calls every morning from 8 to 11. Everybody knew, leave Jimmy alone. He's not going to talk to you. I would literally give my cell phone to my assistant. I had a dial phone so I wouldn't get distracted with all the stupid things on the phone. And I would just dial, man. And that's where I made all my money. And I knew if I made my calls from 8 to 11, no matter what else, I got more done making those calls from 8 to 11 on a Monday morning than most agents, 90% of agents would do in a week. And if I made those calls from 8 to 11 every day, then from 11 to 12, I was doing lead follow-up. From 12 to 2, I was on lunch appointments. And from 2 to 8 at night or 2 to 7 at night, I was on appointments. And then from 7 to 9 or 10 at night, I was out networking. And that's what I did every day. And so it's like, it was funny because later on in my career, right, I didn't have to cold call anymore. It was all about, you know, people were coming in. I was using social media, these other things. And I became the worst trainer ever because all these agents would see me, what I was doing. And they wanted to do what I was doing 7 years in, not what I did at the beginning. And, you know, and they never saw the grind or the hustle. And so they'd come in and just want to post on their social media and like, oh, we want to make an Instagram reel and that'll bring a bunch of clients in. I'm like, no, it won't. But OK, whatever. And so, I just fell in love with the grind, man. It was so nice. Like even when the market was so hard in 2008, to give you an idea, I listed 187 for sale by owners. I sold like 30 homes. I was the number one agent in our county, but the market had tanked. I mean, it was hard. And I had to get on the phone every single Friday and tell 50 different listings that I had, 50 sellers. Nobody came to see your house. We're overpriced. Do you know anywhere where you can get some money? Can you borrow some money? And the market was tanked. But I had to do that every single week. And I knew if I had 50 or 60 listings at a time, I'd sell one or two every other week. And that gave me 30 or 40, enough to keep the lights on. And that was about all I was getting at that time, you know? And so I had another quote on my wall that said, show up today for your future self. You never know who's going to need you. Because at the time, it's not very inspiring to go to work to pay off bills and to pay off debt. I had a lot of bad debt from real estate deals that crashed. I didn't know what I was doing with real estate investing either. And it just wasn't very fun. And so I had to have this vision for what my life was going to be. And I didn't know what was going to be down the line. You know, I just knew if I pushed through this and I built a life that I could do a lot of really cool things later. I remember, you know, people, I speak a lot now and they'll ask me, they'll say, like, how did you get through that tough time? You know, it was when it was so hard. And to be honest, my only answer is like, what was the alternative? To be a loser? Like, I don't know. I just wanted to have a cool life. I don't know how not to do that. And so for me, I never got down. And I will say, though, I mean, it was hard, man. Like, I can get emotional about it. I'd have to go out to my car twice a day. I call them mindset breaks. I had a box full of motivational quotes and books and CDs from like Jim Rohn and Earl Nightingale and, you know, Tony Robbins and everybody I could. And I would take 15 to 20 minutes. I had these affirmation CDs about being rich and stuff. Matt Ferry did, Mike's son. And I would just listen to this stuff and I'd read this stuff because I had to pump enough good stuff in to keep me motivated because it was that hard to sell. And it's funny, like right now, you know, a lot of agents are like, man, the market's so hard. We have a 5 or 6 month supply of homes on the market. When it was bad back then, we had a 22-month supply of homes on the market. Like nothing was selling. And so anyway, I mentioned all that. So you kind of get in my head a little bit around how I did that. But and then eventually what happened is I got into the investor game and it took off because, you know, I was able to tell a better message and sell people on all the advantages. I mean, homes were cash flowing $1,000 on a $200,000 home, you know. And so I started telling a different story and my business really took off. But those years, man, it was just... it's just that grind. And so whatever you're in, whatever you're doing, you got to fall in love with that monotonous routine and just grind.
Yeah, man, it's crucial. I think I like what you said about how like, oh, I can just, I want to hire him as a coach and everything's just going to be great. Like, yeah, I think about that. Something as simple as I've been playing guitar for 25 years and people will ask me to teach them how to play guitar. And to be honest with you, I don't even know how to fucking read music. Like I can hear it and I can play it. That's 25 years of playing guitar where I can hear it. Let's go. No questions asked. In 3 seconds, it's done. But they're like, show me how to do that. You're like, I don't even know how I did it. You got to be willing to make your fingers bleed. You got to get that shit guitar from Walmart that costs $100. run its course, get the $300 one to the $500 one. Then you got to buy your first $2,000. I see parents buying kids guitars. Their first one's $2,000. He's like, he's going to hate it. He's not going to even appreciate how amazing this instrument is. But it's the same thing with hiring a coach who you think is just going to make everything better. Like, yeah, he's going to give you great, great advice. But without the work, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I mean, we had a poker night the other night with my coaching program, you know, and about 30 guys showed up. And one of the guys that was there, he asked if he could have a few minutes with me. He pulled me aside, and he's been going through a lot of problems with his wife and these different struggles that he had. And I just said to him, I said, hey, man, let me ask you a couple of questions. I said, did you draw out the vision for where you want to be in 5 years? He says, no, I did. I said, did you set your goals for this year? No. Have you been telling your accountability partners about this? No. Have you been on every single call? I knew he had. He said, no. I said, have you been reading every day? Have you been doing the meditations every day? No, no. Are you praying every day? No. I'm like, dude, what do you think is going to happen? You haven't done shit. Like, why are you even in the program if you're not going to do it? Of course your life's shitty. I was like, you're not depressed. You're just doing the wrong things. You're not doing the stuff that you need to do to get yourself into a good place. So like, I think my program is the best in the world, and I've set everything up so that you can have every advantage to have real breakthroughs. But at the end of the day, if you don't do it, if you don't do the things, you can have the coaching all day, but if you don't do anything, nothing's going to change.
Absolutely. And, you know, leading into that, man, tell me a little bit more about We Are The They. I found it extremely fascinating, man. I think it's something that it's demand and supply in this country is huge for that kind of thing. I'll be honest. It's like we have a whole generation of people that weren't raised to be, you know, great men in this country anymore. And the ones that were, we're looking to them to be, you know, innovators like you who can create those programs, who can teach other guys, hey, man, and maybe you didn't get that training as a kid, but you're going to get it now and it's never too late. And I find the whole program awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. No, so about 4 years ago, I sold the most expensive home ever in Utah. It was like $32.5 million, made seven figures in like 20 minutes of work. I was the number one agent in the state that year. And I just knew like I wanted to do something more meaningful with my life. The truth is, about that same time, there was an agent that also built his business the same way I did. He had seven kids and he went to a rental property, a fourplex, got shot and killed by the renter trying to get a rent check. And they rolled him up in a carpet and shoved him in the freaking attic, you know? And at the end of the day, when the story broke, every single article was just about like realtor dies, realtor dies, realtor this. And I was like, geez, man, if I die tomorrow, like I love real estate. It's been so good to me. It's been such a beautiful career. And you help people find their dream homes and where they're going to raise their kids. Like there's a lot of satisfaction, all that. But it's like, if I die tomorrow and all I'm known as is a realtor, like I'll be really sad about that. And so I started down this path of really trying to figure out what I could do to, you know, just make a bigger difference, to just leave a bigger mark. And about a year later, I came out with my book that you mentioned at the beginning. And in that book, it really follows the hero's journey. And it takes people through of how to become the hero of your own story, how to go through these trials and how to, you know, you cross the bridge and enter the cave and all these different things. And I start asking myself, I'm like, well, what would that be for me? And a lot of people would reach out to me from my podcast and from that book. And the same two things people kept saying. Number one was, Jimmy, you have the best group of friends. Like, how do you find a group of friends? Like, I really do have like the greatest friends in the world. They're just rock star after rock star. And then the second thing that people kept saying is like, man, you're really living. I mean, I've been to 105 countries. I've done, you name it. I've been to every sporting event on the field for the Super Bowl and the World Series and everything in between. And I just done all these things. And people said, you know, I feel like I'm stuck in life. I want to live again. So I said, you know what? I don't know how to coach people on everything, but I know how to help people build that community. I know how to help people connect on that deeper level. So I started what became We Are The They. And the reason it's called that, I'll go into that real quick, is I used to work with a group called Operation Underground Railroad. There's actually a movie coming out on July 4th called Sound of Freedom, all about Tim Ballard, the guy that founded this group. And I had a chance to go on several of these ops with this group undercover. And after one of them, we came back and my girlfriend picked me up from the airport. And on the way back, I was telling her about this op, and it was a really dangerous one. I mean, these guys had guns on them. We ended up doing the takedown. We rescued the girls. But as I was telling her the story, she pulls over and she says, hey, man, I don't really want you to do this anymore. I said, what are you talking about? Did you not just hear my story? We rescued these kids. And she says, I know, but it's super dangerous. It's a bad environment. I said, I know, but like this is going to be part of my life's mission. And she said, well, why can't they just go do it? And without thinking, I just said, well, there is no they. Like, we are the they. And when I said that, I was like, oh, damn, that's good. That's going to be a model for life, you know, because so many people are like, oh, they need to do something about this. I'm like, no, we need to do something about this. And so that became, so when I launched the program, that became the name for it. It means a lot to me. And, but yeah, so basically our principles of our program are based on three principles, which is being vulnerable, authentic, and in integrity. And the whole principle of that is if you're not in integrity and you're not being vulnerable or authentic, then you don't trust the love that you're getting. A lot of men feel like they're not loved because what happens is they're kind of wearing a mask, you know, and there's a great book that Lewis Howes did called The Mask of Masculinity. We talked about that on my podcast recently. He was just on. And men wear these masks. And so whenever they get praise or they get love, they don't trust it. They don't believe it because what they're thinking deep down is, well, if they knew who I really was, they wouldn't love me. And so by being vulnerable and authentic and getting into integrity, talking to people about whatever you need to do to get back into integrity, whatever that might be, maybe it's talking to your spouse about a difficult conversation or whatever that might be. But once you do that, then you can trust the love you get. And then all of a sudden, you know, I have one of the guys in my group from the very first meeting, he went home, talked to his wife about some stuff he needed to get into an integrity with. It had been a problem for years and years. And he told me, he said, Jimmy, I've never been able to celebrate a single moment of my life because every time people were celebrating me, all I thought was, gosh, if they really knew who I was, they wouldn't love me. He says, I told my wife for 4 hours, she didn't talk to me. And then she came over and she said, thank you for telling me. I love you. I've always loved you. And I'm so grateful I can help you through this. And she even was like, I'm so sorry you've been going through this alone. And he called me up and I get emotional because he says, you know, he says, Jimmy, for the first time in my life, I know my wife loves me and truly loves me for who I am. It's just one of those beautiful moments, right? So my whole program is designed to help men with those things. And we do it through, I call it the five pillars. The first one I just talked about, which is take a moral stand, like get into integrity. Number two is change your behaviors, whatever they do. What do you need to stop doing? What do you need to start doing? The third one is high accountability, constant accountability. The fourth one is having a community to support you. And then that fifth one is to find mentors to model your life after and, you know, people that are where you want to be. And then you just follow the path of success. And so that's what my whole program is designed to do, is to help men wherever they're at to be able to get to a better place. And we started a year and a half ago. My first program was 50 guys. Now I'm up to about 300 guys. We got a women's program. We got a kids program. And it's just been taken off because it works. And the guys are forming community like never before. Every one of these guys, you know, is just, I'm taking 70 dudes to Spain in a couple of weeks. We're going to go run with the Bulls, 70 of us, just doing stuff. Every single day I pick up my Instagram and all the guys are hanging out together. They're doing cool stuff. You know, one of the guys last week, his daughter had a baptism in the Mormon church. And it was so cool because like 12 guys from our group were there. And half of the guys aren't even Mormon. And a couple of them I know could give two shits about the religion, but they all went to support this guy. And then I was getting my hair cut by the dude's brother, the one that went, he cuts my hair and he laughed. He goes, dude, you had so many of your guys there. He goes, the funniest part is the whole thing was in Spanish. Like they didn't even understand any of it, but they were just there to support the dude. And that happens every day with this group because we really go deep. And when somebody, when you're vulnerable and you actually like let people see you and they love you in that state, like you'll do anything for those people. And so that's really what makes my program different than other stuff that's out there. It's not like some networking group with entrepreneurs or just whatever. It's like, we really go deep and get to the heart of what people are dealing with.
Oh, dude. And I like what you said about just at least being vulnerable and being honest about yourself, because reality is, man, those are the people everyone respects, man. Like you want to be friends with the dude who maybe says some crazy shit out there, or maybe he gets a little too, or he gets a little overzealous and he says things he probably shouldn't say, but you trust that guy more than you trust the guy who's putting on a mask. You always will. You know, he'll always have maybe one or two friends instead of 30 friends, but the other guy with 30 friends doesn't really have real 30 friends. They don't even know who he really is. So, I mean, I definitely really agree with the whole sentiment, man, because it's so damn important. And I don't know why it's hard for some men to get to that point. I know there's a lot of factors. Some people have very serious jobs. Maybe like you're in a law enforcement, or maybe you're some sort of lawyer, so you can't show your goofy side, you know. Or so all my friends at work, they only know 50% me. They don't know the real me. And I get that too. But you know, in this life, man, it's very short, and it's you're going to waste it all if you're not following mentors like Jimmy Rex, man. I really do believe that. How can people even get involved in this? Like, what would be their first steps? Like, where do they go and all that stuff?
Yeah. So we're open right now. If you go to my Instagram, Mr. Jimmy Rex, the link's in my bio, or you just go to the website, which is We Are The They. It's WATT Movement.com. And you can sign up there. All of our marketing's there. Follow me on Instagram. You'll see, I'm going to start posting a lot of stories of these guys and how it's helped them. So you kind of get a feel for what this is all about. But yeah, man, I just tell people if you're interested, if it's calling you, you know, this thing has everything. We have a group for the wives and girlfriends now. It's a free add-on so that they can come along the journey with you, and just doing a lot of things. So that's where people can go if they listen to this and you're like, damn, I need that in my life. That's where they should go.
Tell me about, I want to talk about your book, man. You killed it in real estate. You're killing it in your own personal business and all these things. What was it like translating that into being an author, man? It seems like a very strenuous process, because there's a ton of editing. There's a ton of things that publishers are looking for that most people wouldn't know behind the scenes, man. What was that transition like for you?
Yeah, man. No. So my first book, it was kind of interesting. I did a deal with a guy named Tucker Max. He is one of only like five people to ever have three books on the New York Times bestseller list at the same time. But his books were hilarious. He would write one of his books was, I hope they serve beer in hell and stuff like that. He's hilarious. He would just talk about his shenanigans in college. But the guy's a genius. He would write into newspapers and he'd say stuff like, I can't believe you guys are carrying this Tucker Max book. He talks all about just hooking up with all these girls and all these crazy parties from college. And he would write it as if it was like some angry old lady. And then they would publish that. And people are like, well, actually, that sounds really interesting. And so he was, he's a genius. But so he published my first two books. One was a real estate book. It was kind of just a pretty basic book. The second one, though, I was really proud of it. I had my best friend from when I was 12 years old. His name's Cameron. He was a big wig at Google. And he retired at like 35. And he moved to Costa Rica. And he was kind of bored. He's like, dude, I just love what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. So he kind of helped me at the beginning with my podcast and some of the things he'd help research my guests and come up with questions. And then he's like, dude, I've always wanted to write a book. And I told him that's what I wanted to do, was write this book. And so me and him did it together. And he's really the brainchild of it. I would just tell him all my stories and tell him all my thoughts. And then he kind of put it together. So we did that together. And it took about 9 months of him just writing in Costa Rica with nothing to do. He's down there with his family. And super proud of it, man. We've sold almost 20,000 copies. I got a second book that'll be out early next year, or a third one, I guess now. But Wiley, the publisher Wiley, just gave me a deal. So I got, this will be my first with a real publisher. And it's going to be called B1. And it comes from the Marcus Aurelius quote, which is, waste no more time arguing what a good man should be, B1. And we're going to take people through the process of what it looks like to be a good man. And so pretty pumped for that. But yeah, man, it was just one of those things, you know, when you start doing cool things, one of the benefits of it, when people see that you're hustling, this is the reason why it's so, how old are you, by the way, Dan?
I just turned 30.
Okay. So this is the reason why it's so important to hustle in your 20s and your early 30s, because when you make a lot of impact at a young age, everybody wants to know who you are. Everybody wants to help you. Everybody wants to, you'll blow doors open. You have no business. Like me being a part of OUR was like a complete joke that I got to do that. I just got lucky. I'd find myself in all these rooms. My life was just crazy. It was like, wow. But it was because of the success I had at a very young age. If you make money at 40 or 50, no one cares. You should have money. But if you start really crushing it in your 20s or early 30s, like you're going to get some opportunities. And that's kind of what happened with this, like, you know, with the book and just all these different things kind of fell in my lap and they kind of start stacking on each other. And so that's why it's so important for people to crush their 20s and really, you know, spend. I always tell people, if you hustle your entire 20s, you'll be playing from a place of advantage the rest of your life. But if you squander your 20s, you waste your 20s, you just kind of dibble dabble in your 20s, you're playing catch up the rest of your life. And so that's the best advice I have for people, is just grind in your 20s and really put that effort in. I'll be honest, my 30s did. I didn't work half as hard as my 20s, but my 20s were, I'd fall asleep in my suit twice a month, just wake up the next day and go right back at it, you know? But I did that and it set up, you know, that life for me. And so that's, I guess, the best way I can say it is, like, I've just had these really cool opportunities fall in my lap. I've started meeting some amazing people. The guy that's helping me write this new book, you know, he's been helping Aubrey Marcus and Gerard Adams write their books. And he's just a brilliant man. I happened to meet him through his girlfriend and it just fell in my lap again. And then the deal with Wiley came because I met Ed Milette and he started coaching me one-on-one. And he said, dude, I want to help you get your book out. So he called the publisher. It was his publisher. And they told me, they're like, well, you're the first person Ed's ever recommended. So of course they took me. Like, that was how I got the deal. So it just, you know, these things kind of stack on themselves, which is really nice.
I love that, man. It's so true, dude. When you really, you know, invest in something, it could be anything. And there's that old phrase that's when you're young, you know, you have ideas and no money. And when you're old, you have money and no ideas. So the idea is to how do you blend those two, you know, ideologies together to be young with the guts to take chances on your ideas, regardless of the money you don't have, but just taking chances and whatever, investing in yourself in those premises and the opportunities show up. I mean, I just, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let me kind of piggyback on that a little bit. You're exactly right. And you know, I've had 460 episodes on my podcast now. I've had Andy Frisella, Grant Cardone, Lewis Howes, like you name it. I've had the who's who. Every person I know that I've had the chance to be around that's super successful, they all have one thing in common. There's only one thing in common that I can tell that they all have, because a lot of them are a lot different than others or whatever else. But the one thing they all do is they're all really good at taking action. They all take action all day long. And that's the thing that I tell people, like, just do it. You're not going to know how to do it. You're going to fall on your face. A lot of things are going to fail. I did a TV show when I was 21, complete failure. I lost all my money. I did a meat company, ended up 120 grand in debt, had a Christmas light company, didn't work. I coached high school baseball. I got fired from a freaking summer camp job. You know what I mean? Like I just kept trying shit and a lot of it didn't work. But the thing that these people have is we don't care if something doesn't work. It's not about that. It's just fun to try it. And here's the thing, man, people don't do stuff because they're so worried what people will think of them. Here's a little piece of advice. You're just not that important. Like nobody cares. They don't. Like no one cares about my life. If we do this podcast and it's the worst podcast you've ever listened to, it's not like they're like your best case scenario that it's so bad that it goes viral. Otherwise, they just swipe through. They just go on to the next thing. No one gives a shit. And so we get so caught up in our heads about like, what if it's not good? Who cares? Like my first podcast, like I just said, dude, I'm 460 episodes. I've been doing it for 7 years. My first episode, Danny, you can appreciate this having a podcast. I hired these two high school kids and one had a boom mic and one had the light. And I was trying to do it like a crew. And their dad was a friend of mine. My first podcast I ever filmed, their dad came and 12 minutes into this podcast, I got no idea what to talk about. Their dad starts asking my guest questions from behind the camera. I shit you not. My first podcast I did, it wasn't the first one I posted, but the first one I did, their dad is literally asking questions from behind the mic. I mean, it couldn't be worse than that. But guess what? That one led me to the second one. And about the sixth episode I did, I interviewed a guy and he goes, hey, you need to do longer episodes. You can't say anything in 15 minutes because I'm only doing 15, 20 minutes. He goes, you need to make this thing at least 45 minutes. And then he started teaching me a few things. And I was like, oh. And then I started listening to who I wanted to model myself after. And all of a sudden, it turns out I knew what I was doing. But it started by being terrible. And everything that you're good at today, you once sucked at. And so you just have to fall in love with the process and not worry so much about what people are going to think about it. I don't know how to help people get that skill, but that is the one skill that all the people that are doing huge things have, is they just take action. They don't get caught up in their own head.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. And speaking of your podcast, man, I went through and the one that caught my eye was the one with Ozzie Smith. I had to watch that, man. I had to listen to that for sure, dude. I played baseball my whole life. I was a shortstop, humble brag. But man, I would hope when there was a ball up the middle, I would pray that it hit a rock so I can catch it. I would pray like, please fucking bounce the other way so I can look like the wizard real quick. Man, that was really cool to hear that, dude, because those have been the funnest episodes for me. Like I said, this started off as just on a whim. I just wanted to have some fun and I thought I'd be pretty good at it. And I've got to talk to Mike Ruzioni and talk about the 80s Olympics. And then, you know, I've got to talk to the real Coach Carter. And it's like those things, man, they just keep me going, dude. It's really fun. It's an honor to talk to legends like that and legends like you, man. It's exciting. I promise you 30 minutes, Jimmy Rex. I'm glad you got to stop in, man. I know you're a busy ass man. I'm even honored you took the time, brother.
No, I appreciate you, man. I definitely stay in touch. And by the way, I mean, you're smart, man. Everybody should have a podcast or a YouTube channel. You have to have a reason when you meet people to follow back up with them. You know, I've been able to spend so much time with these amazing people because I had a podcast, and I just get an hour, 2 hours with these people and you become close friends and you never know what door opens the next door. And so I commend you, dude, and keep crushing it, man. It's cool.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot, brother. Do me a favor. Tell everyone where they can find you on social media, your links, if they're looking to sign up for Weird of the Day, and where they can purchase your book, brother.
Yeah, again, the best place with me is just Mr. Jimmy Rex. I post everything on there. That's also my website, but that's my Instagram page. And then in the link in the bio is for the people that want to join Weird of the Day. And yeah, man, we're just getting started. We're having a lot of fun, though, and would hope to have a bunch more people join.
I love it, man. Thanks again, Jimmy Rex. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Danny. Take care, brother.
This has been Alternate Take. We'll see you guys later. Peace. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Our interview with the legend, Jimmy Rex. I told you guys, man, dude's a wealth of knowledge, man, an absolute savage. If you listen to that and you don't get inspired, you're a piece of shit. That's kind of how that works. You know what I'm saying? Jokes aside, you should be inspired, man. You should be motivated, you know, and you should have a passion for discipline, man. That's what I get out of Mr. Jimmy Rex, man, especially from his books and whatnot, dude. Thanks a lot for taking the time to join the show. You know, we're a very grassroots level podcast. You definitely didn't need to take the time to come talk to us Lost Boys, but you did, and I appreciate it. So that being said, I put all of Jimmy's links in the podcast description, everything for We Are The They, all that stuff, man. Go check it out, man, and enjoy. I also put all the links for us, for Alternate Take, man. You know, go check out our Instagram, man. Give us a follow, man. Go check out our YouTube. We're steadily growing, man, but our main goal is just to bring you high-level interviews with high-level people, man, and get their backstory and get their success story, and hopefully you guys get something out of it, man. But that's it. This has been Alternate Take. I am your host, Tanny Rodriguez. I'll see you guys later. Peace.